Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 this is Lee and Keys, Real Talk, episode 136. This is Keys. I'm here hosting the show tonight, just waiting a few minutes for Lee to get in. I think he's running late from dinner tonight. So good, anyways. You know, it's a pretty crazy time right now. I mean, in the past couple of episodes, we've addressed that a good amount, you know, with everything going on with the coronavirus kind of surging across the United States right now, and many other countries as well. It's pretty crazy. You know, it's pretty crazy, everything. It's, you know, make sure to, you know, wear a pair of gloves if you plan on, you know, going to the grocery store, and, you know, wear a mask, because if you have the, you know, the mask, it, you know, they say it doesn't prevent you from contracting the virus, but it can help you, you know, it can defend against you possibly spreading the virus if you were to have it and not know, or if you did have it and, you know, of course wear a mask. But anyways, just take the precautions for yourself and your family. You know, that's what I've been doing when I do go out. I mean, I try to keep my, you know, the things that I go out to do to a very, very low minimum, and down to the bare essentials of what I have to do, you know, as far as health, et cetera. I don't just go out, you know, just to go out. You know, we're trying to flatten the curve, you know, you could say, flattening the curve. So, yeah, just everybody try to do your part and help towards that. If you can't contribute, you know, with, you know, donating, or, you know, ABCD, you know, in different ways, you can contribute simply by just staying home and trying to, you know, take the necessary precautions to, you know, lessen the spread of the virus. So, yeah, everybody can contribute in their own way. And, you know, that's, you know, pretty much been the you know, the focus area of my own, in my own perspective. That's pretty much what I've been doing, and everybody can help out just by just by playing defense and trying to trying to lessen the spread that way, and just, you know, keep your, whatever you're doing, you know, wherever you might be going out for, to an absolute minimum, you know, down to you know, just getting groceries and things like that. If you don't absolutely have to go out, then don't go out. But of course, family and, you know, emergency situations happen, so tend to that. But, you know, tend to those things. But other than that, I mean, yeah, try to do your part, and by, you know, and lessening the spread by just staying home as much as you can. That's what I've been doing over here. Lee is here now. You're probably a little bit agitated. I'll drop you in for the call right away.
No, I'm good. I was in my car, my blue. But hey, what's going on, bro? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, man. I was just talking to the people for a few minutes, just talking about, you know, some of the things that I've been just doing to pretty much play defense, you know, against the coronavirus, and you know, just saying that, you know, even if you can't contribute. And, you know, there's a lot of ways people are making contributions, you know, in their own way. But, you know, however you feel like you can help and do your part to help is, you know, is good enough with me. You know, that's pretty much what I was saying. So I'm just throwing that out there to start off the show.
Yeah, that's a good message, man. And, you know, man, my thing right now is, you know, I've been having to go in the office this week. I started a new job. I've been having to go in because I got for training. So, man, you know, it's been kind of different leaving the house to work. So as soon as I get out of my car, you know, I spray Lysol in there. Every morning when I get to my desk, I wipe it down. Have my mask on and stuff. And then when I get home from work, man, I close off. Depending on what I'm wearing, I put in a plastic bag, tie it up. So make sure I take it to the cleaners on Saturday, or, you know, I put them in a dryer or whatever, man. Just try to, like, limit, you know, bringing stuff into the house, you know, because I've been gone, you know, So, but man, you know, salute to all the doctors, the nurses, the first responders, the school teachers who, you know, doing the online thing. You know, man, shout out to the people working in nursing homes to make sure the elderly are taken care of to the best of their ability. Man, you know, man, it's this is a trying time in our country right now, but like with all things, man, when we get to the other side, we're going to be bigger and better and stronger. And, you know, it's going to be it's a trying time right now, but, you know, this too shall pass, man. And, you know, I'm more worried about what's going to happen when we can finally be free than worried about what's happening right now. And that's kind of a crazy thought because what's going to happen when people are able to get out and about and be able to socialize and, you know, be able to, like, be able to go to the club or to a bar? You know, man, I just think it's going to be a lot of, it's going to be a lot of action when people can finally get out. And I think I'm going to sit the first 2 weeks out and sit back and see how things going. And then I might go out to a bar or something, but. Man, yeah, man, it's tough times, but, you know, tough times don't last. Tough people do, so everybody do their part to get through it and see you on the other side of it.
Yeah, and I was actually talking about that with one of my good friends, you know, the other day, is that, we're pretty smart guys. You know, we're young, we don't know everything, but we're pretty smart guys, and, you know, we tend to have some pretty intelligent conversations, if I do say so myself. And one thing that we were just like speculating about is looking forward to when we're able to be out and about again and go to, you know, some of our local restaurants and you know, different businesses. We'll be able to, you know, dine there, go have a drink, or watch the fight, or go to the club, whatever that you typically do. What we were talking about is we speculated that a lot of businesses, if not most of them, we speculated we'll have to change their usual capacity. Now, this could happen. It could happen. It could not. But we speculated that restaurants will have to operate at adjusted capacities. Like where, because if you think about it, when you have tables in a restaurant or when you have seats in a bar, you know, assuming that we have to continue like the staying the 6 feet or at least, you know, to have some kind of distance and assuming we have to continue to have some kind of social distancing measures, you know, in the near future or whenever that is will restaurants have to operate at adjusted capacities? Will they have to minimize the amount of tables that they have in their restaurant or if not minimize the amount of tables, minimize how many tables can be seated at a time? Like we were saying, maybe restaurants will have to seat every other table instead of their normal where they can seat every table in the house, and if they fill the house, they fill the house. Maybe they have to seat every other table, or at the bar, you might not be at the bar. You might have to only let X amount of people into the bar at a time. Like when I try to go out to the nightclubs in Boston, it's often like that. You can't get in. And even some of the just popular bars you can't get into in Boston, they only let X amount of people in at a time. You have to wait for a couple people to leave before a couple people can go in. So I'm thinking it might become like that everywhere, though, for a while. Because even once we get out of it, doesn't mean that we're really all the way out of it. So that was just something that, you know, me and my buddy were kind of just bouncing our thoughts off each other about.
Yeah, man, it's definitely going to be different on the other side, man. I think the way people act and carry on is going to be different, man. I think you'll probably, you know, the way you used to greet your boys, that's going to change. You know, I know, like, for the brothers, you know, we normally do the brother handshake with the hug. I think that's going to go away. You know, man, it's going to be a lot of things that's different, man. Probably dancing will be different. Probably ain't gonna better get on no ass or nothing in the club no more. You know, man, it's gonna be a lot of things that's probably gonna change. Some for the good, probably some for the bad. But You know, it's interesting that you bring up the part about the bars, because what about out here is most of the bars and clubs that's out here, that where the bars that front is the clubs, the bars that front as clubs, they're going to have probably the hardest part to adjust to, because most of them don't have tables. You know, people just walk around, stand around, and, you know, and then, you know, they normally break fire code. So that's how many people be in there. But it's going to be interesting, man. But another thing, to piggyback on what you said about the bars and the clubs and stuff and the restaurants, is I think a lot of the bars and restaurants will be offering meal specials, drink specials, just to crank their business back up. So it might be the opposite, Keys. They might just go balls to the wall and, you know, sell out to try to make as money as they can. And it'll be up to the people to be aware, you know what I'm saying, to maintain their social distancing and all that good stuff. So it, bars and the bars and the restaurants and the clubs might put the onus on the people to do what they're supposed to do to take care of themselves and not on their business, because, you know, they try to make up that money that they lost.
Yeah, it's you know, this is, I expect there's going to be a lot of big differences in with the way society runs and you know, just the social aspect of it. I don't think it's going to be the same with, you know, being able to go meet your friends out certain places. I just don't think that, you know, businesses are going to be operating the same way. I mean, I think that there's going to be they might be tempted to offer deals, but at the same time, I'm thinking a lot of businesses might also be in the state government might also, you know, you live in a different state, so you know your governor is different. You know, of course, the rules they're going to roll out might be different. But I'm wondering if the state, if government at the state level is going to try to, you know, pose regulations for how things will reopen, because you know, the president, so President Trump, he has said that he's going to be leaving. You know, leaving that up to the governors, you know, for each, he's kind of going to let each state decide how they want to reopen their state. So he's going to let that, rule up to the governors, how they want to do that. And then kind of like maybe piece by piece, you know, each state can, if they feel that they're ready to, you know, hit the ground running again, then they can, you know, do as they see fit or go about it the way they feel like they need to go about it. I mean, I feel like personally for Boston, I definitely expect that at least the mayor of Boston, and that doesn't necessarily rule over me, because I'm technically, I live in greater Boston, which is kind of like the, I guess you could say like the outskirts of Boston. Like I live very, very close to Boston, but I don't technically, the city I live in is not technically a part of the city of Boston, but I'm right on the outside. I'm about 10 minutes outside of the city of Boston. I can get there in 5 minutes, if, well, especially with the way the roads are now. I could be in Boston in 5 minutes. But, yeah, I could be out there in 5 minutes, but because the roads, it's like a ghost town. But, you know, I'm technically not governed by Boston. But either way, I fully expect that the mayor of Boston is going to be putting some regulations down for the area. And I feel like the governor is going to follow suit with that as well. And he's probably going to be putting some rules in place for how businesses would have to go about reopening. And I'm sure, you know, and I'm expecting that when I go back to work, we're all going to be required to wear masks for an extended period of time after we, you know, do get back to work. I definitely think so, because Boston has the city of Boston alone. And like I said, I'm not a part of it. We have our own cases in my city. We have almost 500 cases of coronavirus, you know, confirmed cases in the city I live in right now. And that's just the ones that have been tested. But in the city of Boston, they have actually over 4,000 cases in the city of Boston. So it's bad. Boston is the number one highest city in the state of Massachusetts right now for coronavirus cases. So it's pretty bad in the city of Boston. So I definitely think it's going to be, you know, things are going to be, we're going to be running a tight ship in the state of Massachusetts. I think is the tight ship is going to be run once we do get, you know, the ball rolling a little bit again. Sorry for the rant.
Yeah. No, it ain't a rant. Because one thing about living out here in Denver is our governor, Governor Polis, man, he has been very, very proactive instead of reactive. And, you know, when I can't remember which state did the stay at home, I think we followed suit maybe a day or two later. When he closed down the restaurants and stuff, you know, he's been very, very proactive. I like the way he's handled this situation, so I'm looking forward to see what him and especially Mayor Hancock, because Denver is basically, you know, the it city in Colorado, so can't wait to see how they handle, you know, reopening up the city. But I think one of the things that will definitely happen, probably to come out with maybe a curfew for probably the first 2 or 3 months, see how things are going, and they'll slowly but surely bring things back around to full speed. But the thing we got to be cautious of when they do open up the cities and the country is some people, we have to watch and see whether or not cases start to spike again. Because of people not being around people, people finally getting out, you know, people having a good time. Will the cases go up or will they go down? I think that's something that we have to monitor to make sure that, you know, that we don't have a repeat of the cases spiking up and you know, this hanging around longer than what it needs to be.
Yeah, that's why I think because a lot of people right now, you know, as some of my like good friends tell me that, you know, they've some of their friends have been like, you know, having parties and stuff like that, and you know, a lot of people in the same area, and I definitely think it's possible that, you know, once we do kind of get the ball rolling again, that, you know, I'm sure they'll keep on testing, and a lot of testing will still happen, you know, while people are going back to work and things like that. And like you said, I think, you know, since they have the 2 week incubation period where you don't have any symptoms, I think, you know, all the people that were kind of around a lot of other people and kind of being, you know, kind of a little bit ignorant to the what we were trying to do at the time, you might start to see a lot of cases popping up, you know, after that 2 week period. You know, go 2 weeks before we open back up again, and then like you said, you know, a lot of cases could start. You know, there could be a spike in cases once people do get back to work, and a lot of you know, citizens are in contact again. There could be another jump right there because, you know, our bodies are right now kind of just used to not really having to. There's no contact. You're not really going to a lot of different. You're not going from A to B to C to D to E to F. Like we typically do, and once we do, it'll be interesting to see how our bodies react to that and being around other people and like I said, especially people that might have contracted the virus, you know, a couple weeks before we went back to business and then start showing symptoms once they go back to work, and then that could be a spread at that, you know, employer, and then to the next one that's been, you know what I mean? So it's kind of trickle down with those kinds of situations. We actually have a caller on right now. I'm going to jump into the call and see what their thoughts are on a possible spike. Hello? Hello? You got anybody?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up? This is Josh.
Oh. Yo. Yo, we were just talking about... I don't know if you heard, you know, for a few seconds there what we were talking about, but I was just saying, well, he was just saying actually how, Lee, actually explain to him what you were just saying, because, you know.
Who on the line? Yo, who to call?
Oh, this is my Lee, this is my buddy Josh from out my way.
What's up, Josh? How you doing, bro?
What's going on, man?
Man, another day, another way, man. Well, you know, I was telling Keys that when we are free and able to move around, I think we all have to be careful that we still do all the right things when we're out and about with people, because I'm afraid that although we are going to be free, I think the healthcare people and all that good stuff, they need to monitor to see our new cases sprouting up. Because I think there's going to be probably maybe that first month where we might have a spike in cases due to people actually being out and being around people for the first time in a long time, and people not knowing whether or not they have it. And then, you know, they get around a large group of people, and then, you know, something bad happens. So I think I will be wary. Like I told Keys, probably when they open up the world again, I'm probably going to sit the first 2 weeks out and monitor how people are acting. You know, monitor the situation, and then I might reintroduce myself maybe 2 or 3 weeks after everybody else has been out.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a good strategy. Honestly, like, it's so frustrating that we can't get the testing out there. Like, there's not enough tests to just, like, test people who think they might have gotten it or, like, think that they had it before and are good now. I just feel like it would definitely decrease the spread if someone knew that they had it before they even showed symptoms. Or if you could get an antibody test, if that's even possible, to tell that you had it already and now you're immune to it, which would be a great factor to know, like, going forward. But I think, like, life in general is just going to be completely changed, even when things do open up. Like, I can't see anyone going to sporting arenas for another year at least. When we go out to restaurants, we're probably going to have to wear masks, or our waiter is going to wear masks and gloves, and then we're going to have, like, disposable menus. And, like, it's going to be a crazy world, crazy, crazy world going forward. Whenever this ends, if it ends, who knows? Not to sound pessimistic, but.
I was just saying at the Keys, I was like, man, I think when we come back to the real world, still going to be practicing social distancing. I don't think you're going to be pounding up your boys the way you would in the past. I just think it's going to be a lot of stuff out there that we all just going to have to get used to.
Yeah, it's going to suck, honestly. Everyone, like, if you cough in public, people are going to be looking at you like, oh, my God, he's got corona, you know?
Yeah,
such a simple cough, you know, like you got something in your throat, just clearing your throat out, and people are going to be running away from you or giving you the eye look or something.
Yeah, you better not cough or sneeze when you're trying to holler at a young lady.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
geez, man,
what are you saying? Luckily,
I already got a lady, but single men and ladies out there.
Yeah, no, we're going to see how many of them are going to be at Fight Island. May 9th, my bad, everybody, my bad. We kind of got a little carried away there. Let's talk about some positive shit, okay? Excuse my language. Positive things, here we go. So Fight Island, May 9th. I actually don't know if it's Fight Island, but I think it would be so cool. The UFC should just call it, instead of having the number, it should just do UFC Fight Island. That should be the name of it because it's epic. And actually, Lee, it's funny because your boy, who you were saying how he, Phil, the MMA dude, who you were saying something about him recently, I forget, but I actually was, I was giving him a hard time on Twitter earlier because he was hating on Ferguson versus Gaethje for the main event, and he was complaining, saying that the only fight he'll accept is Khabib versus Tony. And I don't know if you saw me reply to him on Twitter. I don't know if you saw me reply to him on Twitter, but I actually quoted him. I said, "Well, nobody cares." I said, "Nobody cares what you want, Phil." I said, "Nobody cares." I said, "It's Tony versus Gaethje, Fight Island," and I put a whole bunch of palm tree emojis after it.
Do you think it could still be called Fight Island if it's not on an island?
Well, yeah, if it's not on an island, then maybe don't call it that. But if it is on the private island, then you can call it UFC Island, UFC Fight Island, because that's epic. It's a theme. Lee, do you see me you see me talking that stuff to your boy Phil, the MMA dude, on Twitter earlier today?
Man, you know me and Phil don't get along no more. But
yeah.
I started my new gig, so I really haven't been on Twitter as much as I should. But I'm gonna definitely check it out after we get off, because like I might have to chime in just to get a rise out of Phil.
That's what I'm saying.
You know how I like to get out of his skin.
Because man, he's always tweeting in all caps. You know, he's got like 200 people responding to what he says. Man, I don't give a damn what fight he wants to see, man. Who is he to say what fight should be seen, man? People want to see something. We need some kind of positivity to go around here. If we can get some fights if we can get some fights together with May, and it can be done safely, then I think then let's do it and not complain and say, you know, you can't get Khabib in Ferguson. You can't get it because it's. You just can't get it. It's not going to happen. Khabib's not going to fight now. Yeah, it's not going to happen. And Khabib's not going to fight because it's going into Ramadan and he's not fighting. So it's out of the question. It's off the table.
Yeah, I think right about now, whatever we get, just be happy, man, that we're getting something. Because I'm tired of looking at these old NBA replays. These old NFL replays, these UFC main events, you know, they ain't even did a boxing replay yet. So, but, you know, man, one thing I don't like about Phil, I'm not going to give him too much press on our show, is he's very unobjective. He bases all his takes on his emotions and not facts. And I just can't deal with that. If you're going to put something out to the masses and you consider yourself and your name
an
is
influencer.
Phil the MMA dude. I just
yeah,
think he you
takes
should be
himself
more objective, man. Yeah.
Yeah, he
so
sees himself
that's
as an influencer.
That's the only reason why I don't mess with him too much.
Yeah, so if you didn't know, Lee and Phil, this guy Phil on Twitter kinda got a beef, so that's what we're talking about right now.
Okay.
But
I really want to call it a beef, Josh. I would say that he's very opinionated, but most of his opinions are fact based. But your opinions really don't have to be fact based because they're your opinions. But I just some of the stuff he do, I just don't get down with, and some of his takes I don't personally like. And we had him on our show before, so you know it ain't like it's no ill will. But I just think that. You know, you can push something out there to the people. If it's your opinion, you should start it off with, in my opinion, la, 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 la. Don't push it out there like it's fact.
Yeah, but the thing is this, is that, and where I'm a published journalist, I'm on that same side of the field. So the thing is this, is that if you're going to make an argument about something and you're going to, you know, if you're going to, like you said, if you're going to present something as like, hey, this is what it is, then you kind of need to have, like legitimate reasons why, legitimate evidence and look at the facts. You can't kind of just say, oh, this is what I think. So therefore this is what it is. Cause that's just not the way the world works. You can't argue that. Well, people do, but you really shouldn't because it's just invalid. But, either way, you know, getting back to the context here is, I don't know if you've seen the proposed fight card. Actually, I have the old fight card, which there was the original card that was planned for April 18th, which was an absolutely crazy card. But there's some other cards that have been circulating now too. And actually, I want to take a second to try to see if I can find an updated card for May 9th, and I can just talk to you about these fights that we're going to be getting, if we get them, because this card looked unbelievable. Let me just see.
The one you sent me?
Okay. Yes, the one I sent you. I just pulled it up right now. So CBS Sports, Lee, are you ready for this card? Are you ready? Are you ready?
I am listening.
On Twitter. You said you haven't been on Twitter, and I know you started a new job, so your mind probably hasn't been on looking up what the UFC is doing. So I'm going to just tell you what this card is. Are you ready? Okay, so there's proposed to be three title fights. They want to do three title fights because they were supposed to have two. There was supposed to be and no, it gets crazy. Hold on. We're going to get there. So supposed to be three title fights. There was supposed to be two set for the May 9th card already. So you're going to have Henry Cejudo is going to defend a bantamweight title. I guess Aldo, it's looking like Aldo fell out of the fight. So Cejudo is now supposed to be fighting. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? It's Henry Cejudo and Dominic Cruz for the bantamweight title. Now we won't get into that right away. We won't get into that right away because that will probably take some time. So we'll run back to it. But anyways, so you have that fight is on the table now. Nunes and Felicia Spencer. Me and you talked about that fight a good amount in previous shows. We figured we kind of, you know, halfway predicted that that would be like the next fight, but that's neither here nor there. We always predict everything on this show, so that's just expected. Okay, so that fight is there, and then you have the Ferguson and Gaethje fight, of course, interim lightweight title. You have Ngannou and Jairzinho Rozenstruik for the actually I almost said interim heavyweight. It's not for a title, but that's pretty much a number one contender heavyweight fight. Yeah, that's pretty much like the winner of that is probably going to fight for the belt, honestly. If you beat Ngannou right now, you're probably going to fight for the belt. If Ngannou wins again, he already was the number one contender, in my opinion, so I don't see how he doesn't fight for the title. Either one of those guys, if they win, I think will probably fight for the title. But anyways, you have Jeremy Stephens versus the Boston boy, Calvin Kattar, who is actually my barber who cuts my hair. He actually moved out to, I think, Florida. But he was actually, like, pretty close with Calvin. He used to tell me about him before he really got Calvin Kattar is ranked, and he's a ranked featherweight in the UFC now. But before, when he wasn't as known and I didn't know who he was, my barber used to always ask me. He's like, oh, man, I know you watched UFC. Like, you must know my boy Calvin. And I'm like, who is it? And I wasn't really familiar with it. Then I went to UFC when they came to Boston. And I'm pretty sure he fought on the card. I'm pretty sure he was on the card that night. And I think, from that moment on, that was when I was like, okay, now I know the dude. But now Calvin Kattar is fighting Jeremy Stephens. So if you know that, if you know those guys, that's a banger of a fight. Cerrone, they got Cerrone. I'm surprised about this. But they're supposed to have Cerrone versus Showtime Pettis at welterweight, which is a weird fight. But it's a cool fight. Two guys who've been losing a lot, but I do like both of them, so that's good. You have Greg Hardy fighting Jorgen De Castro. So if you've been paying attention, Jorgen De Castro is a prospect at heavyweight. We're not too big of a fan of Greg Hardy on this show, but either way, I mean that's a heavyweight scrap for the card. You have another heavyweight fight. You have your boy Fabricio Werdum. That's one of Lee's favorite fighters right there, Fabricio Werdum. Come back from like a 10-year suspension. Yeah, he's coming from like a 10-year suspension versus Olenek, who we were talking about on the last shows too. Olenek has been looking like a beast lately, so that's gonna be that one's gonna be a ground fight for sure. That one's definitely 100%. If those two guys stand and bang, I'll be really surprised. But I really think that one's gonna be contested in one another's guard. You know, either Olenek and Verdum's guard or vice versa. Carla Esparza is fighting Michelle Waterson. You have Jacare is supposed to fight Uriah Hall. And then you have to the last couple to top it off, you have Nico Price supposed to fight Vicente Luque. And then you have Bryce Mitchell, the fan favorite, supposed to fight Charles Rosa at featherweight. So is that not a blockbuster of a card? Then I just don't know what it is.
Go ahead, Josh. You can comment first, and I'll follow you.
You want me to comment first?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll follow you.
I'd give it like a 9 out of 10 on the spectrum there, on the scale. The title fights, I mean, obviously those are fire. Definitely a fan of the Ngannou-Rosenstruck fight.
Rosenstruck.
That's probably one of my favorite fights on the card. What else we got here? The Pettis, Cerrone, those are like, you know, pretty headline names. A lot of people know those fighters. That should be interesting. The weight is kind of curious because the welterweight, is that normally Cerrone's weight class?
Well, he kind of moves up between 155 and 170.
170?
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Pettis is normally in that weight class.
170 here lately.
Oh, really? Okay.
Last fight was at 155, though.
Yeah, he lost.
Yeah, I don't understand him, because every time he loses, he changes divisions. I don't really understand, like, what he's trying to do with that, but it doesn't seem to be working, so I don't know
what
Pettis is going
to do with that. But he looked more impressive at 170 than he did at 155. It's like, man, working was working with you. Because I can tell you why he probably lost that last fight at 155. Because his body wasn't used to that weight cut. you train your body in a certain way to get used to certain things. That's why he fought his last two fights at 170, because he fought Ferguson. He fought Darren Till. No, who he knocked out? Wonder Boy?
Yeah, he knocked out Wonder Boy. That was at welterweight.
Yeah.
But then he fought Nate Diaz. I don't know what weight that was at, honestly. I forget.
That was at 170.
I think that was his last fight. He lost to Diaz.
Yeah.
He didn't fight until his last one, which was at 155. So he pretty much did. He won at 170, and then he kept going 170, thinking he figured it out. Then he lost, so he went back down to 155. Then he lost again, so now he's going back up to 170 again.
Yeah, which I don't understand, dog. I just don't understand it at all. But go ahead, Josh. Go ahead and finish up, bro. We didn't mean to cut you off.
No worries. Probably the next one that stands out is the Hardy one. I quite frankly don't think he stands a chance in that fight against the Castro. I think he's going to get his 2 cents in that fight. Olenek, what is this, his 100th fight?
You think Hardy's going to get KO'd?
Oh, yeah, first round KO, bro. He's done for.
Oh, man, he's toast.
Olenek, that's the old guy, right? What is he, like 105
now? Yeah, he's got like
now?
60 fights.
Oh,
yeah,
my God, that guy's
pretty old. I think he's I want to say he's like 42
just,
or 43.
Yeah, he's got to be in his early to mid-40s for sure. He's like the Russian guy, right? Like the really
old-fashioned
Russian dude. And
well,
to be honest with you...
He's good for where he surprised me. He beat like a, I think the guy he fought last fight was like 29, and he took care of him. He does good for his age. I'm really surprised.
It's because he's really good on the ground. He's one of the better submission heavyweights, I feel like.
Well, the tough thing is too is the guy that he's fighting in this fight is also a heavyweight who's really good on the ground. So he either has to
It'll be a good matchup.
A lot of times when that happens, the guys will end up just, you know, throwing hands because they're both kind of, like, scared of each other's, like, ground game. So they'll just kind of, like, keep it on the feet. So that could happen. But at the same time, Verdum actually called out Olenek. Either that or they both called each other out about each other's ground game. So I think that's why they'll keep it on the ground. And it's going to be that kind of fight because they've both been kind of eyeing each other for that reason. So.
Then that would be a snooze fest then.
Yeah, it might just be.
All right, well, I'm gonna jump in real quick.
Yeah, now go for it.
I'm definitely not feeling Dominique Cruz versus Cejudo. That's some bullshit. Aljamain Sterling is the number one contender, and he should be fighting for the belt. If not Aljamain Sterling, it should be Petr Yan fighting Cejudo for the belt, not no Dominique Cruz. If you're going to bring Dominique Cruz back, bring him back against my boy Corey Sandhagen. That's the fight Sandhagen wants, and that's the fight you should have gave Dominique Cruz. He does not deserve a title fight coming back into the octagon after multiple years off. No, I do not approve of this fight. Secondly, long as Greg Hardy isn't on the main card, I'm good. Me personally, I think Greg Hardy should be the opening fight to the prelims or the early or the main event of the early prelims. Please do not put him on the main card. Lastly, I think Dana White is throwing all these fights out there because we know probably 2-3 of these fights might not happen. So if you build a card up where at least, let's say, 3 of the fights don't happen, you still got a strong card. You still got a pay-per-view card that people might pay for. We still got to remember that this is going to be around about May 9th, and when people had the financial means to be able to afford a pay-per-view. I think that's something we really have to pay attention to because, as we've seen in the last few weeks, unemployment has definitely risen in our country, a lot of furloughs, a lot of layoffs. So me personally, if Dana White is doing this card this major, why not put it on ESPN? You will have so many eyes on your product. You will bring in new eyes to your product. You will bring in, you know, people that just want to see something live. So if he pulls this off and he puts it on free ESPN, I think the UFC will go to a whole nother level. The fight on this card that I really, really like, I like Vicente Luque versus Nico Price. I really like that fight. I love Michelle Waterson and Carla Esparza. Esparza's wrestling game has definitely came on in her last couple fights, like Nunez versus Spencer. Man, I love Ferguson and Gaethje, but it's such a letdown because it ain't Ferguson versus Khabib. But, you know, man, whatever we get, I'll be happy to watch it. Shit, can't have no fight party, so I'll probably be right here in my basement watching it with my son and just amped up to see something live. But I don't expect all these fights to be on that card. I expect at least 2 fights to probably not happen, maybe because of personal reasons, maybe because of family situation, maybe because of travel. So looking at the card, it would definitely be probably one of the dopest cards in UFC history. But those are the 3 things that I'm really pissed that, you know, those are my 3 takeaways. Dominique Cruz shouldn't be in there. Greg Hardy should not be on the main card. And I wish it was, I think Vicente Luque and Nico Price could be fighting tonight. And I'm just disappointed that it ain't Ferguson and Khabib.
And to add to that, too, I think they do have backup fights ready in case, like, fights do drop off. Because if you compare, so I have the projected card for 3, it's about 3 weeks away. So that's another thing to keep on the mind right now is that it's roughly 3 weeks away, 3 weeks and some change. It's not far. And that right there kind of lights a fire inside me right there. I might have to go outside and jump for joy or something after this because my blood pressure is getting high. But anyways, they definitely have some replacement fights ready because if you compare the old card, they were supposed to have that Hernandez kid, that cowboy knocked out. Talking all that shit, and then he got brutalized by a cowboy. Yeah, he was supposed to fight somebody. I think that's Vera, the guy. He's a beast at bantamweight. Marlon Vera was supposed to fight Ray Borg at bantamweight. That would have been a savage fight, and that could be a replacement fight. You were also supposed to have your boy Michael Johnson. Michael Johnson was supposed to fight Kamba Worthy at lightweight. That was another savage fight, which I actually kind of hope ends up on Fight Island or whatever this card is in May. And there's actually in Eubanks at what division is that? Women's bantamweight. Eubanks was supposed to fight Sarah Morris. That fight could be replacement. And then you also had Sam Alvey was supposed to fight at light heavyweight. So that's, I think I named like four or five fights right there that all seem to not be included on this new card, which could very well be, that could be five. That's five backup fights. You pretty much have an entire prelim card, or whichever one of those you want to swap out on the main card. You could put pretty much any of those on the main card. Those are all like pretty high level fights. So.
Yeah, man, it's going to be interesting, man. Like I said, if they pull it off, I'll be excited. If they don't, you know, it is what it is. You know, my thing has been, I want everybody to be healthy and safe. I want all precautions to be taken to make sure everybody get through it healthy and safe. That's my number one priority. And, you know, as long as they do that, I'm in full support, man. And if Dana White pulls this card off, man, he just don't understand. If he pulls this off, how he could take the UFC to a whole nother level. I mean, I know Conor fans, y'all think that the UFC is on another level because of him and the numbers he bring in. But if they do this right and they put this on ESPN and they got hell of a fights, I mean, bangers, you know, maybe a couple knockouts, some dope submissions, man, they would expand their fan base in a means that they never thought they probably could. Just got to be on free ESPN, man. What do y'all think about it being on free ESPN instead of pay-per-view?
Hey, I love the thought of that because you don't want to give the chance to let people just, you know, all the streamers that aren't actually like fans will just be like, oh, I can stream the fight, and then you'll just have a pay-per-view card that's just going to get streamed, you know, to the heavens. So, you know, you kind of can avoid that happening by just making it free off the rip, and then all those streamers turn into actual ratings, which can be recorded, you know, because streaming can be recorded, but it's illegal. You're talking about legal viewers who, it's TV ratings matter for the network, and it matters to ESPN. So ESPN's only going to probably, you know, ESPN's only going to want to put more money into the UFC if they can bring in, you know, a record number of viewers, you know, on a free event. I think it's a great idea.
Do you think it's built in to Ferguson's contract that it is a pay-per-view, though? Like, don't they kind of build that into the contracts if it's a pay-per-view or not? Like, what percentage of the
That's
like,
actually,
I think all that
point.
Stuff,
I don't know,
probably stipulated before. Plus, I feel like there's too much money to be lost if they didn't do a pay-per-view, especially with everyone home with nothing else to watch.
But then what I think what they're saying is, like, a lot of people don't have the money to order the pay-per-view, so they won't be able to sell as many pay-per-views because people can't really afford to be spending $70 on fights.
Oh, would it be at that price point?
I don't know what the price point would be. I'm just kind of giving
it's
a ballpark
number. $70.
Yeah, I'm just giving a ballpark number.
You could basically say it's going to be $70.
I mean, especially with the way this card is.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was higher because of if they make all these fights happen, I wouldn't be surprised if it was higher because you basically getting the main card and the prelim card will basically be pay-per-view cards.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Would you pay for it?
Me
if it was
personally,
a pay-per-view,
no.
Would you pay for it? You wouldn't pay for
well,
it?
No.
How about you, Kev?
Yeah,
I'd have to think about it.
He okay. He hasn't had UFC. Hey, man, he – come on, Keys. You know you're going to pay, man. Come on,
he'll
bro.
Pay double. he'll pay triple the price.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely consider it.
I think for me personally, I wouldn't pay. I wouldn't pay just because, you know, I look at my finances a little different now. And would I be guilty watching it on the Fire Stick? No. But at the same time, I do understand. But people stream all the fights now, man. Streaming is, man, people just stream the fights now. I mean, there are so many means of watching a pay-per-view for free, be it bad, I know it's a bad thing, pirating is a bad thing, but it's just one of the evils now in the world that people can stream fights now. They don't find a way to not have to pay for a pay-per-view.
And Lee,
so isn't
I'm
that
gonna,
more of a reason
I'm
to have
do
it
is...
as a pay-per-view? Okay.
I mean, as far as the financial side, I see why they would do it as a pay-per-view. But at the same time, if you did it on ESPN, you just have a chance of making your product explode. And I think that part of it should weigh more heavily than trying to sell a fight. I think you should want your product to explode right now because it's going to be the only thing going. And if I was at Dana White's ear, I'd be like, yeah, I know Tony won pay-per-view points and all this stuff. Yo, just kick him another bonus, you know, so that we can have this fight on ESPN. Because really, the only thing Tony really wants right now is he wants that belt. Tony wants the belt. He wants that interim belt because he wants no reason for Khabib to run from him. That's his main focus right now. And I think you could kick him probably an extra $500,000, you know, on top of his show money and his fight money. And I think he'll probably be happy with that. Him and Gaethje.
And you know, he definitely had to negotiate that title fight money into his contract, too. You got to believe that he, you know, he said, whether I'm fighting for interim belt or we're just going to fight in a you know, kind of nothing more contender fight, you better be paying me what I would have got for this.
Yeah, man. I mean, you got to treat the guy right, man, because to me, I think he's been dealt a shitty hand since his knee injury. And, you know, they stripped him of the belt so that Khabib could win the belt from Ian Kenta. They never offered him a title shot. You know, they made him fight to get back in the title picture. And it's like, the UFC has done so wrong by me when it comes to Tony Ferguson that, you know, they have to make this up in some kind of way, make this right. And I think Tony needs to get him probably be a company guy right now, as much as I'm against players and, you know, being, you know, succumbing to the management and owners. This is the one time I would salute Tony if he was to say, yo, let's put this on free ESPN, kick me this money, we're doing this for the product. Man, he will go down as my new favorite fighter, and Keys know how much I love Demetrius Johnson. I would put Tony Ferguson over Demetrius Johnson if he was to do that.
Now let me ask you this. So I think we talked about this in the last show. Vegas hasn't made any new odds for, I mean, it's the same fight, so they might just keep the odds from April's card, you know, the odds for, you know, the whole card. And there's some fights they'll have to, you know, make new projected odds for because they're fights that they didn't know were going to be on the card. They still don't know which fights are going to be on the card. It's still a couple weeks away. And things could fall apart or the whole card might not even happen. But Lee, did we talk about last time the odds for Gaethje and Ferguson?
I don't think so. Isn't it close to being a pick'em?
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's not quite a pick'em, but it's definitely it's close. If you're a big betting man, you're gonna be probably a little bit wary of betting on this fight. If it were me, I'm not an expert, but if it were me, I would tell someone betting to just go ahead and not even bet on this fight, because I feel like it's too unpredictable and there's too many variables to really be sure of what's going to happen. It's not one of those fights where you can just see something coming. I don't think it's that kind of thing. Right now, I'm on Forbes has Tony Ferguson at a -185 favorite.
I wouldn't bet this Gaethje, fight.
Gaethje's a +150 underdog.
I wouldn't bet this fight at all. If I was doing a 4 or 5 fight parlay, I would not put this fight in my parlay. I would avoid betting on this fight because of what you said. This fight is too unpredictable because if Gaethje was to win, he's going to win within the first 2 rounds. If Ferguson wins, it's going to be because he pushed Gaethje into deep waters and Gaethje is going to succumb to his pressure. But that's a lot of ifs. That's a lot of buts. And they're both on probably
win streaks.
They're both, especially Tony. Tony is on a 12-fight winning streak. And Gaethje has definitely looked good in his last couple fights, although he's become a one-trick pony, in my opinion. But I wouldn't bet on this fight. Even if I was doing a 4 or 5 fight parlay, this fight, I would avoid this fight at all costs.
If I would have bet on this fight, the only thing that I would advise somebody to bet on, if they said I have to bet on it, give me something to put down, I would just tell them to place a bet, like one of those prop bets. I would tell them, place a bet that the fight ends in a finish. Don't do a round. Don't do nothing like that. I know there's those bets where you can do whether it's going to go decision, a draw, or a finish, and just bet that it's going to end in a finish or that it's going to end in a knockout. Like, do something like that, because I feel like that of all things to say that will most likely happen, I think that one's probably the most likely one that you can really be sure of, is that I think this fight, no matter who wins, is going to end in some type of finish. Whether Ferguson finishes Gaethje by dash choke, or whether Gaethje knocks Ferguson out in the first 2 rounds, you know, or Ferguson, you know, or gets a rear naked choke, or Gaethje with a TKO in the 3rd round somehow, I think that's the only thing you can be sure of, is that it's going to end in a finish, no matter which way it is. Josh,
at this card, if I was to do a 4-fight parlay, I would go with Nunez, Calvin Kattar, Jacare Souza, and Vicente Luque. That would be my 4-fight parlay. And if I had to do a 5th, I would probably go I will probably go Cerrone over Pettis. That'll be my 4 and 5 fight parlay.
Josh, let me ask you this. If you had to make any bets on this card, I don't know if you have the card up in front of you, but if you had to place any bets and make bets that you were like absolutely sure of, what would you bet on?
Ferguson. I think without a doubt he's going to win that fight.
Wow. You would actually
I'd put some fat stacks on Ferguson.
Wow, because that's going to be a pick'em fight. If the card was to happen, that's going to be a pick'em fight on probably the Friday before the fight and probably the Saturday of the fight. It'll probably move up to definitely a pick'em the day of the fight.
I just don't see how that's a pick'em, to be honest with you. I really don't. I mean, what's Gaethje's record?
He's a Gaethje's 4-2 in the UFC.
4-2, and Ferguson's on a 12-fight win streak. How is that a pick?
Yeah.
Because
if you look at it, if you look at how impressive Gaethje has looked in his last couple of wins and who he's actually fought in those fights, that's what makes it a pick'em.
You don't think Ferguson's fought good people in his 12-fight win streak?
I'd say at least half were pretty quality fights. Yeah, but the thing is Ferguson was going to be the favorite anyway. But because of how good Gaethje has looked, you have to take that in consideration when they make the fight, the betting odds. Because everybody in the world wants the underdog to win. But Vegas don't want to go broke with Gaethje winning. So that's why they started off with it being so close. But I think the closer it gets to fight day, people are going to start putting money on Gaethje, and then that's why it's going to end up being probably close to a pick'em because of the amount of money that's going to go on Gaethje.
Yeah, you might end up having, like, Ferguson at, like, a one – like, a Ferguson might move to, like, a 150, like, a minus 150, and then Gaethje ends up being, like, a – you know, a minus 200. Because sometimes they're both the favorite, and it's like so close of a pick'em that it's you're only within a few points. Like you see fights where it's like a minus 120 and a minus 110. Like we've had fights like that in the past, like 6 months.
Yeah, man.
When was Gaethje's last fight?
Me, I would stay away from that fight as long as that. I would just stay away from it.
I want to say Gaethje's last fight was in September 2019, off the top of my head.
I'll check.
It was either August or September. It might have even been October. I know he fought Cerrone, though. That was his last fight.
Yeah, it wasn't in there long.
When was the fight?
I'm checking now, sir.
Both of their last fights were against
September 14th. Yeah.
So by the time this fight happens, he will have been sitting out for almost 8 months.
But I'm kind of with Josh now that I look at it, Keys. When Gaethje fights the top guys, he loses to the top guys. He lost to Eddie Alvarez. He lost to Dustin Poirier. He beat James Vick, he beat Edson Barboza, and he beat Donald Cerrone. But he lost to...
Remember, Gaethje barely made it versus Michael Johnson.
Yep.
Johnson
got him in
had
the last
him rocked
couple
a couple times.
In the second year. Yep.
He got lucky versus Michael Johnson.
Hey, Josh, I'm gonna reverse my stance, man. I think you're right. I think Stone should stay the favorite throughout because when I look deeper into Gaethje's record, he got losses against the top guys, and he beat the lesser guys.
I'd also want to see, like, I probably haven't seen Gaethje fight in a long time. I'd probably want to watch some tape on, like, his previous fights and how he fights and how I think that would go up.
Strictly stand up.
And you know what's funny about that too is, and that reminds me of something I wanted to bring up. So Exhibit A, okay, so here we go. Exhibit A, go on YouTube. UFC just released a free fight. They've been releasing a lot of free fights lately because there's no UFC on. So I feel like they're trying to make up for that by giving out free fights. And they released Justin Gaethje's fight with Michael Johnson. So,
okay.
Josh, you can go on and look up Gaethje's fight with Michael Johnson. That was actually his first fight. That was his UFC debut. And he almost lost. I think, yeah, he almost lost. Yeah, Michael Johnson almost won, but it was close. But when you go watch Gaethje and Michael Johnson, one thing to think about when you think about it from a marketing standpoint, and this is the type of stuff that only Keys thinks about, because I always overthink everything. And one thing I realized about it is you can tell me whether or not I'm tripping. Lee, you could tell me whether or not I'm tripping. The UFC
tripping.
Released Gaethje's. Right. No, hold on. Tell me I'm tripping in like 5 seconds. Ready? The UFC releases Gaethje's fight with Michael Johnson. You ready? Because who was the last person that Tony Ferguson lost to?
Michael Johnson.
Bingo. Now, doesn't that seem like a ploy to say, look at this, Gaethje knocked out the last guy who knocked out Ferguson?
Was that a close fight, Ferguson-Michael Johnson? Was that a close fight?
Man, that fight happened so long ago, I don't even remember.
I don't even remember.
It had to be like, what, 5, 6 years ago?
I want to say it was 2014. But doesn't that seem like it could be, like, because you know how the UFC likes to push the narrative against the favorite? They usually like to, like, you saw how they always push for the contender versus the champion. When there's a big highlight, they like to, you know, hype up the highlight. I mean, it's just interesting to me they would post that fight out of in particular when you have all these other fights. And that was a fight where Gaethje struggled in. He struggled versus Michael Johnson. I don't know why they would even want to put that out there. Why wouldn't you put his fight with Vic, or put his fight with Barboza, where he pretty much ran through them and made it look easy? Why wouldn't you post one of those?
Yeah, because my man Michael Johnson seemed like he gassed out after the first round, man. He started gassing out like in the second round, and because his speed was definitely a factor in that fight. His speed bothered Gaethje, but it was just like, damn, bro, what happened to all your what happened? It was like his gas tank went on E in the middle of the second round so fast.
So you don't think the UFC could be trying to sway the fans onto Gaethje by putting out that fight in particular?
I think fans, people that bet on UFC fights, they already know what his fighting style is and what he's going to bring to the table. So I don't think that fight will sway betting per se, but it may sway people's predictions. You know, people might look at his performance against Michael Johnson and be like, oh man, he might give Ferguson a go. But if you're a real fan, it's going to be based on his skill. And I think he's going to come in there, balls to the wall in the first two rounds, not get it done, fade in the middle of the third, probably get choked out in the fourth or early in the fifth.
Damn, bro. You pretty much have that whole thing, like, mapped out. I think I'm already a believer. That sounds like a guide to that entire fight. I could very well see that playing out in that order. I don't think Gaethje is when you look at the guys he fought in his last three fights, the biggest marketing point for Gaethje right now, the biggest reason why he's fighting in a title fight is because every time a guy racks up a three-fight win streak in the UFC, if they have not, like, yet fought for a title, most times they would get a title shot, especially if they're, like, brand new to the UFC. If you go on a three-fight win streak, like, against ranked guys, three-fight win streak against, like, ranked opponents, you like, 9 out of 10 times get a title shot. And he's on a three-fight win streak with all knockouts right now. But if you look at the three guys that he knocked out and you put those three guys against Ferguson, I think Ferguson beats all three of those guys. And I'm not saying he would by knockout, but because he does more things. You know, he might choose to to tap some of those guys. He might just, you know, throw them in a choke, but he might do it in a different way. You know, Ferguson also TKOs people, so he doesn't always knock people out cold, but it's not always about that. You don't have to always knock people out cold. But I think Ferguson definitely beats those three guys that Gaethje beat.
But another thing we got to all keep in mind, Ferguson been dropped in his last couple fights.
That is true.
He has tasted the canvas in his last couple fights.
Did he get dropped by Cowboy?
I wouldn't say he got dropped, but he did take some shots.
And also, if you go on YouTube, they also they released Ferguson versus Anthony Pettis from UFC 229. That free fight is also on YouTube, Josh and Lee as well. That fight is on YouTube, so go watch that. I watched it the other day, and that is a hell of a fight. Even though Pettis lost, I give Pettis a lot of credit because I think he looked good in that fight. Even though Ferguson was kind of backing him up most of the fight, I still think Pettis landed a lot of good shots, and he hung in there for a while. Probably if he didn't break his hand, I think he would have kept going, and the fight maybe even would have went five rounds, or it would have been like one of those ones where you see a finish very late in the fight. But Pettis was looking good in there, and Pettis actually, to add to your point, Pettis actually dropped Ferguson, and he came close to finishing the fight at one point, but Ferguson did kind of like this ninja somersault thing, which was actually really effective because he got himself out of harm's way. If he would have just been hanging out underneath Pettis at that time, Pettis would have just started hammering fists on him, and it probably would have finished the fight. But Ferguson kind of evaded danger when he knew he was seriously rocked. But, no, to add to your point, Pettis dropped Ferguson. And Kevin Lee also was in top position, kind of almost finished Ferguson as well in their fight.
Hey, guys, I got to hop off, but it was nice talking to you guys. I'll definitely call
in. Oh, yeah,
thank
you for calling in, bro.
Sometime soon. Yeah, absolutely, guys.
All right,
take care.
All right, Josh, take care, bro. Stay safe.
All right, guys, same to you guys.
Well, Keys, man, definitely been a hell of a talk tonight, man. For your sake and your sanity, I hope this car happens because you are super excited right now, and I don't want the UFC to give you another letdown because I don't think your heart can take it. So hopefully May 9th. Hopefully May 9th. Hey, man. Hopefully May 9th, everything comes together for my man Keys, man. Because if not, man, I don't know, man. Somebody might get cussed out, you know, fucking with Keys, man.
Hey, I already started to go off on Phil the MMA dude today on Twitter because the stress levels have been high. So if they cancel this event too and he talks bad about Ferguson's fight one more time, I might have to really go off on him. I might have to really expose him on the Twitter Twitter timeline. I might have to really expose somebody. Or like you said, somebody might get cussed out or slapped or something. I might have to really explode on somebody.
Yeah, man. So for everybody out there that's listening, please cross your fingers. You know, have a rabbit's foot or something for my man Key so that this fight happens because, oh, my God, I don't think he can take another postponement or cancellation right now.
Nah, I don't think I can either, honestly. I went into a very, very, very low state after that UFC 249 was canceled. I didn't even want to believe it until I really – looked into it and saw that it was really canceled, but I got to a very low place and a very low, stressed out, irritable place, and then I'm still kind of in it. But this talk of the May 9th card, even though they're doing Cejudo versus Cruz, which is completely random, and I don't even understand it, how that came about. But the fact that there is even a card that could possibly happen, we could see fights, is a sign of hope. And also, I just want to make a shout-out in this show, too, just to make sure that we got to it. I want to shout out Dustin Poirier, and not because I feel like he would definitely even hear the shout out, but maybe it kind of trickles down, and also just to spread the awareness, you know, for the listeners. I want to shout out Dustin Poirier because everyone knows he has his charity foundation, and he does a lot of work, you know, a lot of charity work. It's called the Good Fight Foundation, and he's been doing this for a while, but you know, right now is a really critical time, and he actually donated 1,000 meals to, you know, working hand in hand with this charity. They donated 1,000 meals to this hospital out in Louisiana for workers at the hospital that are, you know, fighting during the coronavirus pandemic. So that was a really nice thing that that Poirier did, and found a way to work with, you know, with his organization to help out, you know, those in need right now during a really tough and you know, stressful time. So I just want to make that shout out just to say that it's good work, and it's great to see that. And Dustin Poirier is a great guy, regardless of if he's the best fighter in the locker room or not, or whatever it is. You know, he's definitely a great person at heart, and I appreciate seeing things like that. So shout out to Poirier, man.
Yeah, man, I saw that today, and I know that. On a previous show, you know, I shouted. Actually, I did it at the beginning of this show too. That I shout out the first responders and people like that. But the people that's volunteering and doing good things in the community, for us helping the elderly, you know, babysitting, you know, tutoring, things like that. Man, shout out to y'all, and your blessings will come. You know, they might not come tomorrow. It might not come next week, but in time, your blessings will come and your reward will happen. So keep doing what you're doing, taking care of your fellow man, and we appreciate y'all. You know, especially like in times of peril and hard times, people are out here thinking of ways to scam people. And then you got people out here doing things from the goodness of their heart to make sure that people make it through the day. And for those that's doing that, me and Keith salute you, give you a standing ovation, and keep up the good work.
Hell yeah. So, you know, we definitely got to a ton of stuff tonight. I'm really happy about it. You know, hopefully the UFC will have an event on May 9th. You know, I hope everybody enjoyed the show for those that might have been listening. And everybody take care of yourselves out there during this time. You know, like I said, take the necessary precautions and protect you and your family. Always, like I said, say it again, appreciate those who listen to our show. And, you know, we keep on trying to deliver you, you know, quality shows and to have something to listen to during this time where a lot of people are cooped up in the house and, you know, going through a really stressful time. It's nice to have these types of outlets to go to and be able to listen to a product, listen to the two of us talk. You know, it's nice that we have this remote network that we're able to communicate with each other through and communicate to our listeners. So, you know, I definitely think this is, you know, I definitely want to stay consistent with our shows during this time, no matter what, as much as we can. You know, there's like last week we didn't get on for a show. It's just been really tough right now with everything going on. It's, you know, I've been going through it. I know Lee's been going through it. He has kids, so he's got to look out for his kids and for his wife and his family. So, you know, we're all looking out for our families as well. So everybody has different situations, but it's definitely a stressful time. And so we did miss last week's show, but you know, that's, you know, it's neither here nor there. We want to keep, you know, keep the ball going now and deliver you guys quality shows. So you always have, you know, a positive thing to look forward to listening to, you know, one night a week. And maybe we can even get on more than one night a week, whenever we can get on. Maybe we can get to a point where we can do Wednesdays and Fridays. You know, if there's weeks where we could do two nights in one week, then maybe that's something we'll look into doing. So you guys have more listening material, more content to listen to kind of, you know, uplift up the spirits during, you know, what's kind of a dark time right now. So, I just appreciate everybody, and we're just going to keep doing the best we can to bring you a good show and hopefully put smiles on some faces out there. Thank you, everybody.
That's right. That's right, man. Hey, I couldn't have said it any better. So with that being said, Lynn and Keys signing off for the night. Everybody stay healthy, stay home, take care of yourself, take care of your family. Lynn and Keys signing out. Peace.